As it is almost Rosh Hashanah, it is the appropriate time, I think, to begin with the high holiday joke. So here is the high holiday joke for this Shabbat. An old one, but a good one. It has to do with two women who have had a fight, and they decide they're going to make up for the new year. So each of them says to the other, you know, the first one says, I wish you all the things in the new year that you wish for me. And the second one says, oh, you're starting up with me again. I bring this up because it is, as you know, a practice on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur before the high holidays to approach people and to apologize for everything you did that may have hurt them in the year. And this brings up the question of apologies in general and how rare genuine apologies are. In public life, for example, the way you apologize is by saying mistakes were made. And by that passive, non-personal, non-implicating admission, you tell everybody that you're now off the hook, but you didn't have to say, I'm sorry. Another common technique is to go the conditional route. If I did anything that hurt you in any way, I'm sorry. Which is another way of displacing what happened from your conduct onto the other person's feelings. Not, I did something wrong and I'm sorry, but rather, if you were hurt by anything I did, because we all know you're very sensitive, and you take offense at things that nobody else would take offense at, so if I did something that you took offense at, I'm certainly very sorry for the offense that you took. At whatever it was that I did. It's hard, and for some people impossible, to just say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And even when the I'm sorry comes out, how frequent is it, especially with children, that it comes out coerced? Sorry. I said I was sorry. As though what you want is the formula and not the emotion. And every parent knows that at a certain point you just have to be satisfied. Because what do you say to your child? Well, it didn't sound like you mean it. They say, I mean it. I'm sorry. Okay? And everybody knows that that wasn't a true apology, but the formula has been satisfied, and so you go on your way. Which is adequate if what you're apologizing for is a redress of the imbalance of injustice. And by that I mean, if I did something wrong and you want to make me admit that what I did was wrong, and all you really want is that admission that you can cherish, you gotta make me say, I'm sorry. And once I've said it, you've won and we're done. But that's not the kind of apology that we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's the kind of apology that evens the playing field. But a real apology reestablishes connection. That's what a real apology is about. Because sin is distance. And teshuvah, repentance, means return. When you sin, you push someone away. As Heschel used to say, it's not a sin because a law has been broken, but because a person has been hurt. It's not like running a red light in the desert when there's no one around. What's called in legal jargon malum prohibitum. That is, you're just not allowed to do it, but really, you can see for 20 miles there are no other cars, so if you go through the red light, you're not going to hurt anyone. It's about something deeper. It's about the connection that human beings are supposed to have with one another that we violate every single day in ways that we are aware of, and sometimes, to be sure, in ways we're not. So one of the reasons that it is hard to make an apology is sometimes we're not ready to reestablish the connection. Sometimes we've created that distance because we want to, and we don't know how to do it as adults, so we sin to push the person away. But there's another reason why we don't apologize in a sincere way, in a deep way, in a true way, and that is because of the fear of how our apology will be used. There is an obligation on the part of the person receiving the apology as well as the person giving it. The answer to an apology ought not to be, aha, I told you you were wrong. Let me read you from the Rambam, from Maimonides' Hilchot Tshuvah, the laws of repentance. When an offender asks forgiveness, one should forgive wholeheartedly and with a willing spirit, even if he has caused him much trouble wrongfully. He must not avenge himself nor bear a grudge. This is the way of the stock of Israel and their upright hearts. It doesn't mean that you have to reestablish the relationship the way it was. Because after all, what someone does reflects who they are, and it may mean that you then adjust the way you treat them or how close you are. But you're not allowed to keep bringing it up to them. If someone sins and apologizes in terms of the discussion between the people, that's supposed to be the end of it. You have forgiven. And having forgiven, it's no longer a weapon in your interpersonal arsenal. Now, of course, one cannot keep apologizing for the same sin. An apology presupposes a resolution not to do it again. If you keep doing it and keep apologizing, your apology gradually lessens to nothing. But if it's real, then it's incumbent on the person who's receiving the apology to remember that they too need forgiveness. I'm going to make a suggestion that might put this into perspective, that I really have tried to carry out in my daily life, although it is very hard. When somebody cuts me off in traffic, I don't honk. The reason I don't is because that's just an expression of anger. I mean, they've already cut me off. It's not going to... If you honk preemptively, then it has a purpose. But if you do it once they've cut you off, it's just anger. And the reason I don't is because I know I've done the same thing. Sometimes, inadvertently, I really don't mean to, I don't realize, sometimes I'm in a hurry, but I know when you honk, what you're saying to that person is, how could you be such a blank as to do this? And I know that I've done it too. And so to adopt that posture of self-righteousness, like I am, after all, the perfect driver, whereas you sin, is unseemly, inappropriate, unfair, and honking just makes you madder anyway. The same thing is true with an apology in the world. How do you forgive someone? By realizing that you need forgiveness. And even if you've never done exactly what it is that they did to you, you've done something else. It's the nature of being human. And if you haven't, then you can be grateful that you don't have that on your conscience and try to take it off someone else's. Ultimately, apologies shouldn't be about power. They should be about love. They shouldn't be about vindication, but about closeness. I think it is a fair summary of the Jewish view of sin, of chet, avon, pesha, we have lots of names for it, to say that people do something wrong every single day. Something. Sometimes trivial, sometimes serious, sometimes because of what you don't do, and sometimes because of what you do. Which means that we have a great accumulated need for forgiveness. When we turn to God, our tradition tells us, we are forgiven if our confession and our apology is sincere. In our tradition, we are supposed to be made B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God. We are to seek to emulate in our lives the way God is in the world. Which means that as human beings, when we sin against another, we should seek their forgiveness. And when we are asked, we should seek to forgive. Rachamim b'nei rachamim, says the Talmud. Someone who is truly of the stock of Israel is a merciful person and the child of a merciful person. That idea of rachamim, of mercy, must include the idea of forgiveness. And so let us say to one another, for all the things that we did this year that hurt, we are truly sorry. And as we forgive each other, we pray that God will forgive us as well. Shana Tovah.